Secchio Live. Nancy Pelosi and House Democrats failed to take action for the American worker during COVID-19 and sent Congress home. But now they're running back to Washington, D.C. to try and save the Postal Service because of mail-in ballots? What about the American worker? We're going to talk about that and more today on Jay Sekulow Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
So with the American worker, the American economy, positive in the sense that President Trump took those four executive order actions to try and help the American worker, help American businesses. But Nancy Pelosi sent Congress home at a time when Democrats, they love stimulus checks. They love PPP loans. And yet, because it's getting close to an election, Democrat National Convention virtually begins this evening, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll talk about who the speakers will be tonight in just a moment. But interestingly enough, Democrats, though they love giving out money during a pandemic, when it actually makes sense for the government to be bailing out its people, making sure people stay on the payrolls, making sure that you can keep your staff, making sure that people aren't evicted, making sure all of those different items. They ran home. She sent the House home. But now, Dad, the House is running back to Washington, D.C., again for political purposes. The first time it was, let's put pain on the American people and blame President Trump. This time it's, oh, no, the Postal Service is saying, we may have trouble if you go all mail ballots, and we've been having economic trouble for years. We're overloaded. Mail's not even – a lot of these centers get shut down because of COVID outbreaks randomly across the country. And so she's rushing back her entire House on legislation to save the Postal Service, and yet it's the Democrat House.
Well, look, the politics of this are so obvious that you can run a Mack truck through it. I mean, she sends them home. By the way, this Postal Service situation is all ties into the mail-in ballots and the potentials for abuse. Now, I'm in favor of mail-in ballots with safeguards and protections so that it's constitutionally protected, but also that the safeguards are in place. But the irony of all of this, to me anyways, is that she sends them home. Everything's fine. They're sending them home until September 7th. And then what happens? Oh, we have a political moment here. We could say that the post office is now broken. It's the president's fault, and the mail-in ballots will never be counted. So this is this idea of already setting up a scenario where there will be legal irregularities, and they will then decide, oh, we've got to fix it now. And so that's why she's calling them back.
Right.
By the way, it's been broken for about 30 years.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at this Postal Service review, and listen, the poor financial situation. USPS's overall financial condition is deteriorating and unstable. It has lost $69 billion over the past 11 fiscal years. Congress didn't take action then, including $3.9 billion in fiscal year 2018. The USPS's total unfunded liabilities and debt, $143 billion at the end of fiscal year 18, have grown to double its annual revenue. Now, that being said, interesting enough, Dad, when Clark County in Nevada decided they were going to send out all the ballots by mail to any voter, not just active. So anyone who was registered, didn't mean if you hadn't like voted in 20 years even. Okay, they had 223 mailed ballots were returned as undeliverable. So talking about overwhelming the Postal Service. You see, when you just throw out ballots and you don't put conditions like, this needs to be someone who has at least voted from this address in the last, I don't know, 10 years, 15 years, some
well,
number.
Fraud.
Also the Postal Service had to deal with 200,000 plus undeliverable ballots in one county in Nevada for a primary. Think about if you did that for a presidential.
So
the mess that causes. But again, I think the bigger story, Dad, they rush back for this. They don't rush back to help the American worker.
Well, we're going to ask Stan Bennett when we come back from the break what they are exactly doing, because he knows they're coming back to Washington, supposedly when, tomorrow?
Yeah, they're rushing back.
All right. We'll talk to Stan Bennett. Don't forget, ACLJ.org, Matching Challenge. Back with more in just a moment.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
All right, so a few things happening today. The virtual Democrat National Convention, which will be bracketed in person by President Trump. He will be there, you know, in person, traveling around the country. On the final day, he'll be in Pennsylvania, one of the top battleground states. So while the Democrats and Republicans will be having, in a sense, these virtual conventions that will they'll be taking place doing their business like they are in Milwaukee, but they'll be speaking from different locations. President Trump will be what we call in politics bracketing the convention himself by traveling around the country delivering campaign speeches. So we'll be able to see those live too. Now, all the networks will be covering this starting tonight, yes. 9 to 11 p.m. Tonight is the We the People night for the DNC. It's the main speaker is Michelle Obama. And this is when the Democrats,
which was their vice president nominee, I think.
I think so, after the poll, we'll get to, after the polling came out from CNN, of all places, that showed that it's...
Well, let's save that.
Yep, okay. Well, we will save that. So Michelle Obama's the main speaker, but guess who number two is on the list? Bernie Sanders.
There you go.
That's how you get the American people, right? That's how you win a tight election, is you put Bernie Sanders up on the first night of the DNC, because he did so well in the primary.
Yeah.
Even Democrats wouldn't put him as the leader of their party. Now, there's others, too. You got Cuomo speaking tonight, some members of Congress as well, Senator Doug Jones, who they're praying, I guess, can somehow win and beat Tommy Tuberville in Alabama.
Will not happen.
Will not happen. So they're giving him one last shot. Amy Klobuchar. It's a lot of kind of... But again, the big people tonight, it's... Yep. I'd say it would be Michelle Obama, Bernie Sanders, because who knows what he'll say, and of course Cuomo.
All right, so I want to go to Fan Bennett, our Director of Governmental Affairs in Washington, D.C., and I first want to hit this issue of the Postal Service, what's really going on. We know there's some shenanigans going on with mail-in balloting that we got to really keep an eye on. How do you read it, Than?
Well, first of all, I think you've got to set it against the backdrop that was established last week, Jay, when Leader McConnell kept the Senate in town and called on Speaker Pelosi to do the same thing, to do another COVID stimulus package. Because you know this, Jay, I mean, the American people are hurting. Small businesses are out of a job from the virus, and Congress has a duty to respond to that. The backdrop, Jay, was that Speaker Pelosi left D.C. last week, did not view that as an urgent enough issue to prioritize. But yet, as Jordan said, she's rushing back this week, and actually was just going back and forth with some Hill staff during our break. It's a moving target in the House of Representatives right now, Jay. There is some instance that there's going to be a hearing as soon as tomorrow on postal reform. I think it's much likely to be later in the week, and then a vote on Saturday to throw another tens of billions of dollars towards a postal service that Speaker Pelosi, Jay, gets this, calls Election Central. Did you know that? The postal office is Election Central in the United States?
Yeah, and the ability for nefarious activities to take place with a mail-in ballot system that has no checks. For instance, some states are worried, Jordan mentioned this earlier, some states are worried about the idea that these ballots will just go to whoever was the last resident.
Right, and so either someone could commit fraud by filling it out or not even reading the name on there and say, hey, this came to me, I can vote, right? I mean, so it looks like, so if you don't pay it close attention, and then you send it in and maybe that gets tossed, maybe it doesn't. But think about the overwhelming burden you're putting on the postal system already with mail-in ballots in primaries that have taken place. If one county in Nevada, the Postal Service had to deal with over 200,000 undeliverable ballots. That's, do you hear me? Postal trucks, that is, a mail? 200,000?
Yeah.
I mean, so they're talking about, oh, we're trying, and Than, I want people to understand this too. This whole idea that Republicans are trying to defund the Postal Service, that is not the right terminology. The Postal Service runs its own business. It is run by the government. The government appoints, but it's supposed to be taking charge of its own accounts. It's the one that made the deal with Amazon that the president has criticized for, you know, this very low shipping cost and made all these deals that turned out to be, you know, very good for all of us that use Amazon Prime, but not so great for the Postal Service because, you know, they do, you know, next day shipping for a dollar.
It's a very good point, Jordan. And even the Democrats' proposal to this is to throw another $25 billion at it. And what, Jordan, free them up to run a better business? No, it's to layer on additional restrictions that will mean they will lose even billions more in the decades to come. But even against that backdrop, Jordan, what did President Trump say when asked whether or not he was willing to negotiate on this? He said, absolutely. He said, absolutely, I'm willing to negotiate on the funding for the Postal Service, but we want to see it run better. And most importantly, I'm only going to come to the table on that if the Democrats will come to the table on the more pressing issue, which is getting another check to the American people and getting funds, loan funds for small businesses that are trying to come back online. Jordan, I just think the juxtaposition of the priorities that are set in Washington, D.C. right now really couldn't be starker. It's either the Postal Service, which is Election Central, or responding to the pandemic that was thrust on all Americans?
You know, I think, again, we'll get to your phone calls now, 1-800-684-31. It's just interesting that for their own political purposes, they're hurting the American worker when usually Dad, the Democrats, they love stimulus checks. They love PPP loans. They love all these programs. And yet they can't make a deal on that. They can't make a deal on that. They run away. But when it comes to the Postal Service, they're making this the hot button issue, and as we talked about yesterday, we were texting about it. I think it's because they're almost starting to see, and we'll talk about this poll that's coming out, that if they lose again,
yes,
they've got to come up with a new Russia.
Yeah.
So the new Russia is going to be postal interference by the Trump administration.
I think that's, I mean, it's like, I feel like calling my legal team back together and say, okay, become experts in mail-in balloting. Although there are already challenges, by the way, that we're looking at and that some of my colleagues are handling. And even at the ACLJ, we're looking at the constitutionality of some of those. We've got a very interesting call coming in, though, on line two. Let's go ahead and take this because I think it kind of sets a tone for this whole issue.
Yeah, Frank's calling from Florida on line two. Frank, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thank you guys for taking a phone call. My question is this. With this mail-in voting, I've been following it from day one. If the ballots and all this mail-in voting, and I think President Trump also said that if it's not countable by or before, or actually after November 3rd, by January 20th, 2021, President Trump and Vice President Pence have to leave and Nancy Pelosi becomes president?
No, I mean, here's the thing. There will be a certified winner of the election before the date upon which the next president is sworn into office. Let me say that again. There will be a certified by the Electoral College, which is how it works, president of the United States come the due date of the inauguration, the swearing in. Our Constitution framework works that way. That is the way it's set up. But what Jordan said, I think, to underscore is this idea that I think what's happening is the left is saying we need a new interference scheme if the president happens to win. And then we get into the next segment, we get into some of this polling, you're going to see why they're getting nervous. And so what is the best next scheme? The next best scheme becomes, the administration prohibited fixed funding for the Postal Service so they could not properly process the tens of millions of mail-in ballots that are going on. And before I go to Jordan, I want to go back to Than on this for a moment. Now, Congress is coming back, so what does this mean?
Yeah, Congress is coming back, Jay, and there will be a vote in the House sometime this week. Nancy Pelosi is saying right now it would be over the weekend, which, just side note, I mean, that's a ploy, too. They could come back and vote sooner or vote later. They want to do it over the weekend, so it looks historic. But, Jay, I think you will see a hearing, and then you will see the House pass a bill, probably with this $25 billion in funding. And my guess, Jay, they'll probably repass a bunch of that $3 trillion that they put in the HEROES Act, much of which was unrelated to the COVID stimulus. Here's what they won't do, Jay. They won't pass another bill that actually brings back to the negotiating table for direct payments and for a replenishment of the PPP. But you will see a political vote in the House of Representatives, I really do think, sometime by this weekend.
So again, folks, we're going to take your calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Think about what happened in New York. Okay, this is published August 3rd, 2020. The headline is, Why the Botched NYC Primary Has Become the November Nightmare. Election officials in New York City widely distributed mail-in ballots for the primary on June 23rd, which featured dozens of hard-fought races. The officials had hoped to make voting much easier, but they did not seem prepared for the response, more than 10 times the number of absentee ballots received in recent elections in the city. Now, nearly 6 weeks later, two closely watched congressional races, these were primaries, remain undecided, and major delays in counting, a deluge of 400,000-plus mail-in ballots and other problems are being cited as the examples of the challenges facing the nation as it looks towards conducting the November general election, which is a whole lot more votes, folks, than a primary in New York during this pandemic. Governor Cuomo and other officials are trading blame for the botched counting, and the Postal Service is coming under criticism over whether it's even equipped to handle this sharp increase in absentee ballots. This gets back to my point. Here's $25 billion, Postal Service. How can they take that $25 billion and be ready by November to really be prepared for what they're talking about, this deluge, if they can't handle a couple primary races in New York? If they're having to, 200,000 plus in Clark County, Nevada, are undeliverable ballots because of who they go out to. And who's deciding who's getting these ballots? Not absentee, but who's just getting mail-in ballots? And, like, at what point are you cut off from not receiving one at your address? I mean, I lived in a home. There were people there 5 years ago. Am I going to get their ballots, too? Even though they don't live in the state anymore? Probably, if this was the case. So you see the confusion this would cause. And the pain it would cause the Postal Service. We'll be right back taking your calls on Jay Sekulow Live.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
So, I mean, we've got now a situation. So, you've got there's notices being sent around Capitol Hill that the House is going to meet at 10 a.m. on Saturday, and the first vote could be as early as 11 a.m. So Than, it looks like they're gonna push us back towards post DNC virtual convention, and then start voting this Saturday in the House of Representatives on the postal issue. I want to make it clear to people they're not voting for the PPP issue, Than. They're not voting on stimulus checks. They're not voting on extending, people being evicted. They're not voting on that. They're voting on giving out $25 billion plus to the Postal Service.
Yeah, because that was on the table last week, Jordan. I mean, if that was what they wanted to vote it on, they could have voted on it last week. Now, look, they might try to layer some of that stuff in to disguise it, but I think the American people are smarter than this, Jordan, and I honestly do not think, even politically, we know the policy's not right, Jordan, but even politically, I don't think this optic works for Speaker Pelosi. But by calling for the vote on Saturday, I do think there's a political layer to be discussed here, Jordan, because maybe they want to give some breathing room for the convention, but maybe they also want to take attention off of that as soon as they can by putting another issue on the table immediately after. You're right, though. I'm seeing notices go around the Hill that it looks like a vote could be as early as 11 a.m. on Saturday. I do expect there will be some kind of a hearing before that this week. Jordan, if I had to guess, I would guess maybe Wednesday or Thursday, although there are multiple days being put around. But look, I think the American people know better than this. They know that our elections actually work because there isn't a central authority providing oversight. Those are run by localities, Jordan, overseen by states, and that's what prevents the fraud. You can't just, in a matter of a few weeks, give all the power to the federal government to do a centralized system. The fraud that you're talking about and the delays in those two primaries, Jordan, can you imagine if you extrapolated that over an entire nationwide presidential election? It would be unbelievable.
You know, but Than, what is the deal? And we're going to get to the calls. What is the deal with... Is there a possibility that our government affairs team, we could work with like the White House and what Mark Meadows is proposing and congressional Republicans are proposing and saying, listen, you want this support for the Postal Service. We all utilize it. People that get absentee ballots need to utilize it too. We're talking to a lot of people. I'm sure they'll be utilizing it. And some of their states are going to have no choice but to utilize it. So they're going to want to make sure their vote gets counted. Can't we get a deal that says if we're going to move forward with this, because there's not votes for this in the Republican Senate, and it's certainly not a veto-proof majority, that even if it got to the president's desk, then they've got to go forward with PPP and they've got to go forward with the stimulus checks?
Yeah, of course, Jordan. And in fact, I think you've heard that from all the negotiators. You definitely heard it directly from President Trump. You've heard it from Leader McCarthy. Leader McConnell has said that his preference is to have some dollars for the Postal Service in there. Now, long term, obviously, there needs to be some reforms. Those aren't going to happen before the November election. But this goes to something that your dad said in the last segment of the broadcast. There are states, Jordan, that do mail-in programs pretty well. And there are virtually every state does the absentee ballots pretty well. And so I think that both President Trump and Leader McConnell would have the expectation that there probably will be dollars for the Postal Service in a deal. But what they're not going to do, Jordan, is let the opportunity for a deal go by without meeting the most pressing demands, which is making sure that the American people who are suffering also get compensation. And that's what you heard from President Trump as well. But Jordan, to specifically answer your question, yeah, I actually think the only possibility for a deal would be is if PPP and direct checks and some dollars for the Postal Service with a promise for reform down the road. Jordan, I think all of those pieces are going to have to be in it. Otherwise, it's not going to clear all of the chambers that it takes and get the president's signature to become law.
You know, I'm going to take some phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. But Than, I want to task kind of your government affairs team on an action item on this so our listeners know about it and really pushing. I'd be okay with the money going to the Postal Service to get it ready for this unprecedented time. And I think they've already had a tough time. I know from talking to my local postman that it's been a very tough time. Mail distribution centers, the major ones across the country, half of them get shut down day to day. And they've had a lot of outbreaks. They are frontline workers at this point because, and there's a lot of our listeners, Than, who are going to be relying on, they want to make sure that their vote counts. So they may live in a state where they've got no choice but to do it by mail, or they need to vote absentee because they have a precondition that would make it more dangerous for them to vote in person. So I think what we need to push for at the ACLJ is, yeah, we'll go there with you. We don't like the fact that you ran away from D.C. to help and didn't help the American worker. But here's your second shot at it. You want us to get this to the Postal Service, get this for the American worker. Get the stimulus checks out, get PPP done, get that eviction stuff done, kind of take it broader than what the president was able to do via executive order. And Than, I want to task your team really pushing that message. We'll get a blog up on it as well.
I was gonna say, ACLJ.org. Let's get a blog up on it. Let's get our team that handles our emails, Matt Clark and our teams, Bart and Logan and everybody else involved with that, to start notifying the American people exactly what we're asking for here. This is the art of politics, folks. This means this is negotiations. So if the money is going to go to the post office to help the Postal Service, especially with what would be an increase clearly in mail-in balloting, that's fine. But then we need also help to the American people. So let's get something for this. And we're going to activate our government affairs teams. Our office in Washington, D.C. is back open, and we are functioning, and we want to engage this issue. So I'm sure we'll have a petition up, other information, but it's very important to help the American people with this. We did a very Than's team did a very effective job in the first round of these negotiations on the PPP and then 2.0, and now we're at 3.0, I guess. So that's fine. Let's just get this done for the American people. You want to try to take that first call?
Yeah, Sue in Nevada on line one. Sue, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, Sue.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question about this mail-in voting system, which I'm very concerned about.
Yeah.
Can't President Trump just sign an executive order saying, no, we're not going to do mail-in ballots. We're going to vote in person.
No.
You know, absentee ballots are okay, but I see a big mess with this mail-in voting.
So,
and I was just...
I want you to go ahead and finish. You were holding for a long time. Go ahead and finish.
I was just wondering if he can put in an executive order saying, we've done this over the years. This is what we do.
Yeah, so here's the thing. States control the method of election. I mean, now, there are federal constitutional safeguards that are mandated. So while executive order, I don't see this in the realm of executive order, and I don't think you can ban across the board. You can't just have a ban of mail-in balloting. There's going to be mail-in ballots. Let's just be prepared for that. But there still can be constitutional safeguards put in place to make sure there's no voter fraud. That is what we are going to be looking at in literally the next 80 days. That's all that's left for this election. So our teams are looking at that legally. Our government affairs team is charged with negotiations on this other project, which will help the Postal Service process. But we are going to make sure there's no room eliminate the fraud possibility as much as we can.
I don't have time to play it right now, but we have the sound. I mean, Jake Tapper said, why doesn't the president want people to be able to vote by mail? And Mark Meadows said, that is not the issue. It's doing it in a way that actually works so that people's votes get counted. I mean, that is the big problem right now. As I talk to you, all of you, I think the key is this. We can help the Postal Service because some of you, and Dad, we've been talking about this before too, you're going to have to embrace this mail-in because your state may be the only option they give you. Some may have drop-offs and other things, but some are just going to have mail. But let's make sure we get PPP done and the stimulus, that second round of stimulus checks out to keep our economy afloat during this time and not make this all about politics, which is what the Democrats are trying to do. It can be a victory for both, if you will. And that is a victory for all of us. 1-800-684-3110. We've got a lot of work going on at the ACLJ on the schools issue as well. Update you more about that later in the week. The CNN poll, you do not want to miss this second half hour. You will not believe how close this race is. ACLJ.org, be part of our matching challenge.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
You know, there's interesting political news, and we'll weave this into a dear discussion about the mail-in, and I know people got a lot of questions about that, but I want to start right off with this, because this idea that Republicans or President Trump is trying to stop people from being able to vote and prevent the Postal Service from working is inaccurate. One, he votes absentee. All presidents have in the past. They can't. You know, when you're running for president, you can usually go to the polling station, but when you are the president, you vote absentee. And a lot of Americans do. In fact, in normal times, if it wasn't COVID times, a lot of people are traveling for work. They got other reasons. They've got things to do. You file an absentee ballot application. You get the absentee ballot. You mail it in. And you're pretty confident that's going to work. There's always some glitches with mail, but it's more likely than not, 99.9% likely, your ballot will get counted. Usually those do get counted later, Dad. It's interesting.
Yep.
They get counted later because what the state does and the AP does on like election night, they say, well, how many of these mail-in ballots are still out and haven't been counted? And how much is this candidate winning by? So if you look at how many ballots are out and how much the candidate's winning by, could they possibly change the election? And in most cases, it gets to a point where they say no. There's not enough ballots out there to change the outcome of this state or who gets the electoral votes of that state. But Jake Tapper tried to push this. You know, this is the network that says, by the way, oh, can you believe that there's a network that is just out there to promote President Trump and tear down Joe Biden? Listen to how Jake Tapper even asked this question to President Trump's chief of staff, Mark Meadows, Byte 25.
Why is President Trump trying to prevent Americans from exercising their right to vote if they choose to vote this way, especially during a pandemic?
Well, the president doesn't have a problem with anybody voting by mail if you would look at it in terms of maybe a no-excuse absentee ballot. What he opposes is universal mail-in ballots where you send millions of ballots out to registered voters across the country, even those that don't request it.
You know, I mean, that's the thing. I just want you to be clear, though, is that the question is, why is President Trump trying to prevent people from exercising their right to vote? Now, here's the good news about CNN. They don't love highlighting this, by the way, on their website. In fact, you have to dig for it now. But it came out yesterday.
Well, that was on their front page for about 15 minutes yesterday.
Yeah, for about 15 minutes. Until they called that and said, take this down, take this down. So they did a poll, a really, substantive poll. And in the poll, now this is why the Real Clear at Politics average, you'll see on Drudge, Biden plus 11, the national polls. But they did a poll. Now they did a poll first of just registered voters, not just battleground states, folks. This is a national poll. CNN conducted it. We always know this oversamples, by the way, Democrats, but this is conducted by CNN. I just want to say that one more time. Conducted by CNN. Overall, 50% of registered voters today say they would vote for the Biden-Harris ticket, while 46% say they support Trump and Pence. That is at the poll's margin of error of plus or minus 4 points. What does that mean? In CNN's poll, it's a 50-50 tie. President Trump never had a poll that good nationally in the entire 2016 election cycle. Do you realize that? He's facing a pandemic, so you know the schools issue, economic kind of uncertainty, even though stock market's been pretty good and people have been able to keep their jobs for the most part. Unemployment's going down again. But still, it gets even better for President Trump because they took it to the battleground states. I'm sure they thought, well, we get to those battleground states, Joe Biden will really be beaten up there, right? Across 15 battleground states, the survey finds out, they include all 15 together, that Biden has the backing of 49%, but Trump lands at 48%. It's a statistical dead heat in their polls. And what do we know about President Trump?
Under polls.
He's never had polls this good in his entire political career.
I think
especially
that's right.
Especially in his first run.
I think that's right.
And so this is why I think Democrats are scrambling to find a new reason blame.
And the Postal Service is going to be the new reason.
It's the new Russia.
That's going to be the new Russia. That is going to be the new challenge. So we'll get the Postal Service money. We need to get money to the American people. All of that needs to take place simultaneously.
And if not, I say no money to the Postal Service.
Oh, no, I think if they don't help the American people, you don't. Right, exactly right. And we're not going to let the left say this is the new election interference. But that's exactly what they're motivating. All right, when we come back, we're going to do.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Let's take some calls now. 1-800-684-3110. As Democrats, they rush back to Washington, D.C. to save the Postal Service, because I think they want to make that the new Russia. But they ran away from Washington, D.C. to help save you, the American worker and the American business owner, with PPP loans extensions. They let those expire. With eviction suspensions, they let those expire. Now, President Trump has done what he can through executive order. But what about PPP? What about stimulus checks? If you combine the two, fine with it. Fine with it. Don't like the way the Democrats did it, but I'd be fine with it. Let's move on. Let's have our election as the DNC begins tonight virtually. But I want to go to the phones, 1-800-684-3110, because there are a lot of people asking about the Postal Service and this issue. Bill in Wyoming on Line 5. Bill, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Now, I'm going to be dating myself on this phone call, but Mr. Sekulow, you brought up something that I tend to remember about 30 years ago with the post office being broken. I remember two news items, types of news items. One was that people, this is the first time I heard people's IDs being stolen by the mailboxes being broken into, yep, and credit card applications were, yep, filled out. And people were using those cards, yep, on other people's names. Plus, sometime later, I remember where some mail carriers were actually caught, yes, with thousands of pieces of mail,
yes,
either in their homes or in their garages. And these people were tired.
Yeah, and these and those are felonies, by the way. And if you look at your postal, if you look at your post box, I still think they have these on there. They used to print on there for postal official business only. Postal business only. Yeah. I don't know if they still do that.
It's why FedEx and UPS said that they couldn't get involved in this, is because they don't have that trademark. They have not been given that power by the U.S. government to have to carry out what is called official government business.
Yeah.
They can carry government documents, but they cannot conduct. And actually delivering the ballot, yeah, is conducting the business. It's not just transferring documents over. It's conducting business of the federal government.
So let me explain the difference between just a traditional mail-in ballot and an absentee ballot. Yeah. So I voted absentee before because I travel so much. And you got to you fill out a declaration that's under penalty of perjury. Yeah. You send it in.
Someone has to usually be there and also...
Yeah, it has to be authorized or notarized. And then it goes back in and you get your document. And that's how that works. What they're talking about with mail-in ballots, some of the states, literally they're going to mail it to almost like, it'll be a name. It's almost like, or present occupant, yeah, or current occupant. There's going to be no safety measure in place, and that's what's going to court and fighting over, the safety measures that need to be put in place here.
And I could, as a personal example, we moved about 4 years ago within the same state, but into a different county, so you'd be in a different Bureau of Elections, Board of Elections, different county Board of Elections. Now, with me, for some reason, it transferred right over. For my wife, she still comes up in both. So every time she goes to vote, she has to bring the proof that she actually is at the new place. But what if she brought proof to the other place? And some of that's because different counties, they update their rolls different periods of time, and some are more slow. So again, that's just a personal example of in-person voting issues that you deal with, and usually those are much easier to work through. They work through them with you in person. But it's second, absentee ballot makes you take an additional real step. You have to request it on time. You have to have a reason. I do think that they could be a little bit more flexible, with the reason being that it's not safe for you to vote because of a pre-existing condition. But I feel like there's an option on most absentee ballot requests that has other.
Right.
And you could write that in. I think most states would accept that right now. I think that would be legally challenged. If that had happened, it would be a legal challenge that likely people would win if the state didn't accept that. But so you send that in. Then you get your ballot. Then you have a time the ballot must be in the mail.
Right.
And if you don't follow the instructions of the ballot, like if you don't use the right color pin,
right,
or you don't fill out exactly how it's supposed to, you don't read the instructions, your ballot gets tossed.
Exactly.
And oftentimes, absentee ballots, we're not talking about mail-in, absentee ballots are not counted on election night. They only go to absentee ballots on election night because they take so long to go through, because if it's a very close race. But
exactly.
Usually they can say statistically, hey, we got 100,000 of these absentee ballots out. Now, no one ever wins 100%, but let's even say if they won 80%. Would that affect the election? And in most states,
so,
it would not, so they can call the election.
Okay, so Than.
And they do eventually count them.
Yeah, yes. But Than, let me ask you this. I'm trying to get the kind of practical reality of what's actually going on with Nancy Pelosi now having this emergency. We must get everybody back in. What is really going on here?
Two things, Jay. One is politics, and second, the policy priority that she wants the federal government to control elections. I mean, go back to what Jordan was just talking about. Jay, this has never been a debate about mail ballots being part of the process. Virtually nobody opposes that. It's who gets to set the safeguards so the delay and the fraud that Jordan is talking about doesn't happen. I mean, if it takes that long to count 100,000 absentee ballots, imagine how long it would take if you had to count every ballot that way. And by the way, just to underscore this, 34 states in Washington, D.C. have no excuse absentee balloting. So if you need to vote via absentee ballot for one of the reasons that Jordan is talking about, all across the country, virtually everywhere, you can do that. It has never been about denying that. It has been about Speaker Pelosi's desire to control the election apparatus from Washington, D.C., plain and simple. The other thing here, Jay, is I think they believe that if there's chaos come the first week of November, that helps them at the ballot box. That's a terrible, terrible way to create public policy.
All right, let's go ahead and take another call.
Yeah, forward. Annette's calling in from Florida Online 3. We'll take more of your calls, too, in the final segment of the broadcast. That's what we do. Annette, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Annette.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I have been saying that I don't understand this whole thing with the mail-in ballot. It's only because, look, we go to the grocery store. We're going to get our hair cut, our nails done, going to the barbershop, you're going to Home Depot, you're going to Lowe's. Why can't you go vote? In Florida, we vote, we have a 10-day in advance early voting.
Right.
Never a line, you're in your own little booth. Why would you tell me I have to vote by mail? Plus, on top of that, that means that my ballot is being opened up by a perfect stranger who is going to decide if they're going to cast it or not, depending on what I'm on.
Well, they're under federal obligation and federal
law.
And
they're monitored by both parties.
And it's monitored by both parties. There's lawyers from both Republican, Democrats,
and
Independents,
too. Take a lot more this year
too.
Than it has
and,
in the past.
Yeah, they will be battalions of lawyers engaged in the looking at how these ballots are handled.
Yeah, I've done that before. For you don't even have to be an attorney. You can just be someone representing the campaign. You can go in the rooms where they are going through absentee ballots, or before we use paper ballots, just to watch that process. And they had to let you watch so that you could at least get an idea that they were doing it fairly. Then you kind of keep maybe someone there, and then you'd move on to the next one. But what I think is important to point out, too, I want to get this out before we get to the next break. We're going to keep taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Is unless you live in a handful of states, I don't think you'll be forced to vote by mail. I think that's only going to be a handful of states at this point.
Yeah.
Because most cannot get this system set up in time.
Right.
So I think if you live in Florida, you'll have the opportunity to do your early voting, and you'll have the opportunity to vote on Election Day. But that being said, I think we have to be prepared
right.
for a different system. And I'm willing to help the Postal Service get prepared as long as the Democrats are willing to help the American worker out with the PPP extension and the stimulus check extension. But, Dad, politically, this is very interesting because the DNC starts tonight. We've heard this word, too. A former congressman is going to come out, a Republican congressman, and endorse Biden. A lot of people think it's John Boehner, who was very anti-marijuana and now is a marijuana. That's like his main thing. Legalizing that, is it gonna, where would that move the polls?
Some said John Kasich.
John Kasich's already on their speaking list. So he's already out there. But he's not moving the poll anywhere. Okay, he's like,
I don't think John Boehner is either.
No, I mean, Republicans. It's like, could you put the most establishment disliked Republican came out and then 10 years, comes out after retirement, comes out and says, while I'm promoting weed, I support Joe Biden. Surprise, surprise. So anyways, you've got John Kasich. He's speaking tonight. Tomorrow night, you get Sally Yates is the top speaker along with Joe Biden's wife, Jill Biden. So that's kind of dead to be a sign of who the next AG might be.
Yep.
Sally Yates, of course, is still having to do under oath testimony.
We should be calling Andy for here, but he's in court today.
We can talk to him on Wednesday after she gets to speak. That's also the night Jill Biden, Bill Clinton, but also AOC and John Kerry. AOC, she's already complaining that she's only got a minute. So think about this. It's only 2 hours a night that you're going to see the coverage of. Then it gets to night three, Kamala Harris and former President Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. They headline that night. And then the final night, the big speaker, of course, will be Joe Biden himself. Then the Republican convention will be similar. We don't have as much info about that. That will begin next week, next Monday through Thursday. Remember, all the networks will cover this. So wherever you are in the country, if you want to tune in tonight to hear from Michelle Obama, John Kasich, Bernie Sanders screaming at you, and a Cuomo telling you why he put so many people with COVID in nursing homes, I guess you can tune in between 9 and 11 p.m. Eastern time tonight.
Is that going to be it on the coverage?
That is it. Of man. Now, I don't know if like...
Are they going to cover like the cable network during the day?
I think these speakers that they have listed fit within that 9 to 11. So they're very quick. Like I said, AOC, she's mad. She's only got a minute. She's got a minute. And so we wonder, too, we haven't seen it yet, how much of this is just going to be pre-recorded? Ugh. It kind of, you can tell when it's like that. We will take your calls. Remember,
only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Jumping in next, I want to get to the calls, and I want to get to a couple of points. One, the ACLJ, we're going to be taking action on this with this mail-in voting and what the House is trying to do, as well as making sure that if any action gets approved by the U.S. Senate and makes its way to the president's desk, that it includes – I'm fine with it including more funding for the Postal Service when at a time when they're under stress, even more so than they usually are. That doesn't mean we shouldn't have a larger debate down the road when we're not in a pandemic about what to do with the Postal Service. I think we should. But, okay, fine with that, as long as it includes the PPP and the stimulus checks and the other items that we've talked about. Okay, so we know we're going to work hard on that. We're going to get more on that at aclj.org, give you an action item there. In that CNN poll that showed a statistical dead heat between Joe Biden and President Trump, that was a nationwide poll. We don't usually put a lot of weight in those.
Right.
But then in the poll of just the 15 battleground states, it was more than a statistical dead heat. It was 1 point. That's not just like within the margin of error. That's like, I mean, that could have just been one phone call off and it would have shown President Trump in the lead in the 15 battleground states. I will tell you, out of the 15, 4 or 5 I already give to President Trump safely. So I think that they were hoping with a lot of these. But
any underpulse, as you keep saying, Jordan, and you've said over and over again, he significantly underpulse, usually 6 to 8%.
Yes. So, I mean, if he's doing that right now, he's killing Joe Biden. The week that Joe Biden announced his VP nominee, which we weren't on the air, Dad. Yeah. Logan and Will covered that. They did a great job. I think she was a total dud so far for Joe Biden.
Didn't add a lot.
This poll has shown that.
Yeah.
Let me just say this too, what's interesting, and then we'll get to the calls. In that poll, this is so important. If you work in politics, you know how important this is. They asked people who are going to vote for Biden and for Trump this. So they asked people who are voting for Biden, are you voting for Biden, Democrat, or are you voting against Trump? Only 38% said they were voting for Biden. Almost 60%, 58.9%, said they were voting against Trump. Remember John Kerry tried to run an anybody but Bush? That did not work out well. Polls sometimes showed it was looking like it might be, but ends up John Kerry gets destroyed. Turn that around. If you're voting for Trump, are you voting for him or are you voting against Biden? Well, if you're voting for Trump, it's close to 70%. That means you're actually casting your ballot because you support President Trump, not because you just don't like Joe Biden. And it's only about 27% that say, I'm doing it because I don't like Democrats or I don't like Joe Biden. So, Dad, the numbers being flipped like that, then we'll get to these calls. The numbers being flipped like that, I know this from campaign politics.
Yep.
You never win when you are the candidate whose people say, I'm not really voting for you, I'm just voting against the other guy. You literally, I've never seen a race where someone has won that way.
No, I think that's exactly correct, and I think the history will show that to be the case again. All right, let's do this. We've got a lot of callers. Let's get to as many as we can. Some folks have been holding, Rick has been holding a long time, so has Donald. Start with Donald.
Can I just read, though? Nate Silver, from 538, he said, if these numbers give you a sense of deja vu, it may be because they're very similar. Remember when we were on radio three days before, when we said, well, Donald Trump could win this. Very similar to our final forecast in 2016. What did that final forecast show? They thought that was very close that Trump might be able to actually win.
Yeah.
That was 3 days before the election.
I'm assuming we're going to be live that night on our broadcast here through our, with all our, that'll be fun.
Unless you're in court over.
Unless I'm in court fighting over some of this.
All right, let's get right to the phones. People have been holding on a long time. Let's make sure they get books as well. Let's go to Rick in Colorado, line two. Rick, welcome to Jay Sekulow.
Hey, Rick, go ahead. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yep.
2 points. My wife is a rural carrier for the post office. And what the post office has done this last year with the union is gave the power to individual postmasters to require the carriers who provide their own vehicles to purchase larger vehicles due to the mail stream volatility and the Amazon deals and everything. So they've put that onto the employee, except that I can't go into Canada and buy a right-hand drive vehicle to accommodate the size and being able for her to function and do her job. So there's there's a real problem. Like right now, we don't know.
Yeah, no, I get it, Rick. You look at the postal vehicles. They actually launched some new ones. We have some in our area, some of the newer trucks that exist. They're not that much bigger. They're not carrying 200,000 ballots at a time, I'll tell you that. And no one's doing a route that large. But I think there's just a big mess in the Postal Service. That's why I think there's two issues. One, let's figure it out for this election. That's a short term. Only if, Democrats, you help the American worker, like right. You love doing usually, so we know what you're playing politics with. And two, when we get past this election, we got to figure out the Postal Service.
Yep, no question.
It's a mess. Let's go back to the phones. Donald, Indiana, you've been holding on a long time. Appreciate it, Donald. We'll send you a signed book. You're on the air.
Hey, Donald.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I did want to follow up with something San alluded to a little earlier about the chaos leading up to the election. Yep. I saw a Facebook meme just the other day that said, hey, I received my mail-in ballots. Do I send all seven in at once or do I space them out? Which leads me to my question. Do you think that the Democrats want the chaos? And if so, what's the end game with that?
Well, go ahead. No, please
question,
finish.
Yeah, the second question is, what legal recourse do we have when you suspect a lot of shenanigans and you can't verify who mailed in the ballot?
Okay, so let me answer the second one. I'll ask Than about the political, what they're trying to do here, but let me answer the second part. So look, there's a team of lawyers, I will tell you, already in place that are already litigating cases now. Those cases are continuing. I just was texting with one of them down to get some updates. We're going to be looking at those very carefully, too. And if the ones that we think are significant where there may be interests of the ACLJ because of the constitutional implications, we did this in 2001. I think we did it in the last go-round, too. We'll file briefs as necessary, friend of the court briefs. And I'm also looking at the various state challenges that are going on now. So there are procedural and constitutional safeguards that are mandated by the Constitution to have a valid mail-in ballot system. Now, Than, as to the political aspect, why are they doing this? Jordan alluded to it earlier, but I think it's worth reiterating.
Yeah, very, very quickly, I'd say two things. Yes, they want chaos because they think that works in their favor. And two, by and large, Jay, states can do this. States have the authority to do a mail-in ballot, but the federal government wants to take that away from them. Those are two very different things. And the last thing you would want to do is create a mail-in ballot in a system in a rushed fashion, because that would ultimately lead to what? To chaos. Oh, but that's what they're looking for.
Wendy in Alaska Online 6. Wendy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Jay. Thanks for having me this morning.
Sure.
This actually, the comment that I have references is just a previous comment you just made. So if you refer to the Constitution, clearly if there's an undetermined president with these mail-in ballots, then we will have Speaker of the House as our standing president until those mail-in ballots are counted, and that can take months, and I can only imagine the amount of damage that can be done by Pelosi.
It's not going to happen. It will not happen. You can put enough bodies in this to make the counts happen. There will be a president.
The courts will mandate it.
The courts are not going to allow that to happen. They should not allow that to happen. There will be a president sworn into office. What is it? Whatever inauguration day is
in
January of next year, there will be a president of the United States sworn into office. It will not be the Speaker of the House.
No, I think what they're trying to set up, which is more nefarious, is they're looking at these polls not looking so good for Joe Biden. You hear those comments from Barack Obama. He said, Joe, as I can't even say it on air, is a good opportunity of messing things up, as I'll say, instead of the word that the former president used. And with Kamala Harris not really coming out, we'll see what the DNC does for him. But they're starting to look towards another 4 years of Trump. So what's their new Russia? This would be their new Russia. He stole the election.
Don't forget to support the ACLJ. Do that at ACLJ.org. We're on top of all of these issues and broadcasting to you every day. ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.